He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, Bob Marley. Barack Obama loves him. Visited Jamaica yesterday. One of the first things he did was check out the Bob Marley Museum on a late evening visit there in Jamaica. Maybe that's where he gets his relatively benign attitude toward marijuana. He was the first president to visit Jamaica in three decades when he went there in 2008. He's back. Well, he's on his way to Panama now, but he was digging the calypso, digging the reggae. I'm not going to talk about President Obama very much today. I want to know, are you ready to talk about how badly the various candidates for president are already doing? I mean, if you are, then get on the phone. Give me a call at 866-Geraldo, because here we are. Hats already being tossed in the ring. You got Ted Cruz. He's officially in, the senator from Texas. You got Rand Paul. He's officially in, the senator from Kentucky. Hillary's probably up next by the end of the month, they say, certainly in the next couple of weeks. Bunch of others getting ready to go. But man, oh man, aren't they stumbling right out of the starting blocks? You have two of the top tough contenders. You have Secretary Clinton and Governor Chris Christie. They already seem like dazed, damaged goods, don't they? I mean, she just can't shake Benghazi or her botched BlackBerry private email scandal or what many are saying is just her bad attitude. New York Magazine, we're going to have the author of the article on later in the show. New York Magazine calls her testy and brittle, and her explanation about the whole private email system unpersuasive. Whether it is or not, one thing is for sure, her poll numbers are down. Quinnipiac, the university swing state poll, shows that now she is in a tie. She was well in the lead. Now Hillary, they say that's sexist when you just use her first name. So Senator Clinton or Secretary Clinton, now in a tie in the early voting state of Iowa. Also in Colorado with the various Republican candidates, and not just one or two of the leading candidates, but virtually the entire GOP field is running better against Hillary Clinton than they were just a couple of weeks ago. And the pollsters are attributing this drop to the controversy that erupted last month over these personal emails. At the time, she was America's top diplomat, Secretary of State. You have Rand Paul leading Hillary Clinton 44-41% in Colorado. And Rand Paul leading Hillary Clinton 43-42% in Iowa. In Virginia, she's doing better, but what do you think? Who do you like and who don't you like in this race for the White House? 866-Geraldo. You got Governor Christie. Man, has that guy stumbled. He was looking so good in the wake of Hurricane Sandy. He was looking so strong, so competent, so open-minded. The one man able to bridge the ideological opposites. But man, has Chris Christie stumbled. He's got a big, big, bad bridge in his future. New York Times reporting that some key Christie aides on the verge of being indicted. I wonder how close it's going to get to the governor's mansion. But these key aides are going to be indicted for Bridgegate for sure. But also maybe for bribery and conflict of interest, possibly involving the Port Authority. In his state, my state still officially, As I reported to you a couple of days ago, going to hell in a handbasket, New Jersey, the nation's worst roads, highest real estate taxes, largest proportion of people fleeing the state. They're leaving the Garden State. It's a mess. And that mess in Jersey is certainly reflected in Governor Christie's recent polls. Listen to this. 54% of New Jersey voters now disapprove of the job that Chris Christie is doing. Just 41% approve, according to a new survey from Rutgers. So you have fewer than one in three approving Chris Christie's handling of the state's economy. So where, oh, where is he going? So he's gone from the top of the heap to the very bottom. I tell you true, I wasn't very impressed with my man Jeb Bush either in the last couple of days. I mean, at the end of last week, when I heard that he announced that he was in favor of Indiana's odious Religious Freedom Restoration Act. You kidding me? Religious freedom? An act that was really a license to discriminate against gays? And Jeb Bush was for that law before he turned against that law? I mean, he seemed very Mitt Romney flip-floppish, didn't he? And how about that Rand Paul? I mean, adorable, right? The curly locks and everything else, young face. Adorable for the first 3 minutes until he chews out every single female reporter who comes his way. Listen to Rand Paul now being interviewed by some of the prominent female anchors, including Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show and our own Megyn Kelly on Fox. Listen.
You once said Iran was not a threat. Now you say it is. You once proposed ending foreign aid to Israel. You now support it, at least for the time being. And you once offered to drastically cut defense spending, and now you want to increase it 16%. So I just wonder if you've mellowed out.
Why don't you let me explain instead of talking over me, okay? Before we go through a litany of things you say I've changed on, why don't you ask me a question? Have I changed my opinion
on that?
That would be sort of a better way to approach an interview.
Okay. No. Is Iran
You've editorialized. No. Listen. You've editorialized. Let me answer a question.
Senator, I'm sure you know that most of the research on this indicates that these actually cost more money over the long term than they save.
Let's go back again. Your premise and your question is mistaken, okay?
Let me finish. Hey, Kelly. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Calm down a bit here, Kelly. Let me answer the question.
I want you to respond to this suggestion that you interrupt your female interviewers, that you're not polite to them. Go ahead and tell us what you think.
You know, I think I've been universally short-tempered and testy with both male and female reporters. I'll own up to that.
Rand Paul really getting whacked around there by the ladies reacting in a way. I mean, do you think that was appropriate the way he was reacting? I mean, he was right, wasn't he? About the ladies editorializing in their question. They were very aggressive in their questioning, but he certainly didn't handle it with any kind of skill, did he? Doesn't he come across as a bully? Very, very defensive. Rob, what are you thinking about? Westerly, is that Rhode Island?
Correct.
All right, well, Mr. Westerly, you're on. What do you think of these various candidates so far?
Well, you're on point. You know, I like your show. I've listened to you for a long time. I'm a staunch Republican, conservative first, Republican second. I think you're right. It's definitely time for a change. We have to, and we have a lot of.
But who do you like, dude? Who do you like, and who do you think is stumbling over?
You know, I like Romney, but he's not running.
He sure ain't.
I think Walker would be an outstanding choice. I think you're right with Christie. I think he's damaged goods. I would love a woman president, but Hillary is not the person to put in the White House.
So how do you feel when you see Hillary on TV?
I have a hard time listening to her. I try very hard. I don't care for her stances. I think she's a, you know, a more of a hawk than what we have now, but peace through strength, and we're not getting it.
All right, Rob, I appreciate it. I gotta go. My phones are ringing off the hook here, but I appreciate the call. Thank you, Rob. Hey, James, what's on your mind, James?
Good morning, Ronald. How are you?
Good, man.
I just have to say, there's really no more reporters out there. There's people with agendas on both sides. So they're looking to attack the Republicans. The Republicans are going to look to attack. We can't have this. We've got to have debates on the issues. I mean, is that what they're going to focus on?
So do you think Rand Paul was correct in his demeanor towards Savannah Guthrie and Megyn Kelly?
Of course I do.
Do you think their problem was their problem?
It was their problem because they're not asking questions. They're out to bring him down.
All right, James, I appreciate that. Here's Charles in Belmont. What are you thinking about, Charles?
They need to toughen up. These ladies need to toughen up. They want to be in the political parade. They got to toughen up.
So you think they were too thin-skinned against the senator there, or was he thin-skinned?
No, he handled it perfectly.
Okay, Charles, I guess it's...
You cannot take this garbage from them.
All right, it's all in the eye of the beholder. But what I'm saying, folks, the way I see it, no one has had a crisp start to the race. I guess Ted Cruz, although I think he's, in my personal opinion, a fringe candidate with no real shot. And I think that he'll be overshadowed by Marco Rubio when the Florida senator finally gets his thing together. Rand Paul is very interesting, but you saw how inexperienced he was, I think. He could have let them be hostile and pointed and editorializing in their questions. He could have let that happen and then said, the way you frame that question, Savannah or Megan, is inappropriate. Why didn't you ask me a question you really wanted to just, you could have handled it with more grace. Instead, he was very, he was as testy as they allege Hillary Clinton is. Hillary Clinton, that whole BlackBerry botching that whole thing seems to have definitely dented her inevitable candidacy. Although she is the only Democrat that has a chance of getting the nomination. What about Michael Bloomberg? Ignored and disrespected by Bill de Blasio, but at least honored by the British yesterday, getting a knighthood. But we're talking today about presidential politics. 866-HERALDO is the number. It is 18 minutes after 10 o'clock. You are listening to 77 WABC.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
We were misled that there were supposedly protests and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But the American
people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Testy, brittle, above all, unpersuasive. That's the way New York Magazine, I'm going to have the reporter who wrote this cover story on momentarily, well, a couple of minutes anyway, talking about what an abominable candidate Hillary Clinton can sometimes be. And who has she beaten? She comes off as defensive, artificially put off. I hope desperately she's the next president, but she could be a great president. But I do have major concerns about her ability as a campaigner to get elected, that from a Democrat. So Hillary, not rushing to a coronation, that's for sure. So who do you like? This is the first of our political programs. Usually, politics is interesting. It's fascinating. It's like a parlor game. Obviously, profoundly important who's in charge. I tend not to do the mechanics of it too much, but it is fascinating. And at this stage, all of us are kind of scratching our heads and wondering how this thing's going to sort out. Whether you like it or not, it's going to have such a big, big impact on your life, if nothing else, on what you see on television, what you read in your newspapers or in your handheld personal device. Pat in New Jersey, let's start with you now. Calling 866-HERALDO. What's on your mind?
Hey, Geraldo. I'm a Ron Paul supporter primarily because I'm tired of reruns with the Bush family clan and the Clinton family clan. Is this the best America has? Ron Paul's a genuine article.
You mean Ron or the son Rand?
Rand. Rand. I'm sorry, Rand.
But, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the father, Ron, and maybe that was a Freudian slip because, you know, the father has some pretty kooky associations that people are definitely going to bring up. You know, a lot of libertarianism, quote unquote, the whole Ayn Rand stuff has generated some strange bedfellows, including some that sounded at least marginally anti-Semitic. Are you worried that the sins of the father will rub off on your boy here, your man Rand Paul, Pat?
If Jimmy Carter can get by Billy Beer, I think.
okay, fair enough, man, fair enough. All right, that's good, 866-HERALDO. Here's Anthony in Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. I had a couple comments. One comment was about what you were saying about Obama earlier. The guy's African-American. I mean, you know, give him some slack. He went to Jamaica. I mean, maybe he's connecting to his African-American roots.
I love Jamaica, man. Don't get me wrong. I love Jamaica. I love Bob Marley. I love the activities in Jamaica on and off the beach. But, you know, I sure would cut him some slack. And I'm glad he went to the Caribbean. And then a neglected area. And I'll tell you this, Anthony, with Venezuela courting China in the Caribbean, that's a real strategic situation developing. So I want my president to pay attention, but I'll cut him all the slack he needs. What else is on your mind?
Yeah, well, and then as far as my choice for president, I say none of the above. I would go independent, and my choice would be Ventura, Jesse Ventura.
Well, you know that's not serious, though, so that you're going to have a protest vote because you don't think any of these candidates are up to the job.
Well, you said it. You said it. Look at them. They're all tripping on their own, you know, footwork there. You know, Hillary with her Benghazi situation and all of the contradictions, you know, with all the rest of them. I mean, you know, the American people have got to really open their ears and listen and see and investigate and look into our choices. You know, I want my country back. I want this country back, you know, I want it, and I want people to follow the
Constitution. All right, Anthony, I appreciate your call.
Geraldo, live, local, today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
I love our first guest this morning. Toto is singing it. Rosanna Scotto. I've known her family since like 1970. Proud. Her dad, one of my favorite gentlemen in the city, Anthony Scotto. I mean, terrific mom, too. But Rosanna and her family, they ran that Fresco by Scotto, that wonderful restaurant. Rosanna, of course, one of the most successful news anchors in town, maybe the leading female anchor locally in New York. Yeah, is your mic on? I'm not sure. Push a button. Is it no on the bottom there? Is there a button? Yeah. Hello.
Oh, maybe
this. No. Hello. Come. That was the talkback next to that. Now try that.
How about this?
Hey.
One? I don't know so much about this.
I didn't
this
say she was
stuff.
As high tech as others.
I don't know about this radio stuff. I know about TV stuff.
Well, yeah,
you gave me the you're on, but I
you're
like,
you're on, but you weren't on. But Rosanna's here, and I'm delighted to have you. Have you ever met Hillary Clinton?
I have. She's actually coming to our restaurant, Fresco by Scotto.
And how does she respond to you and to the staff?
You know what? She was very lovely when she came in. She came in with President Clinton. And, you know, they're a very charismatic couple. They really have a way of working the crowd. They're very hospitable. And it was lovely to see them there. At the time that they came in, the president was eating a lot. He doesn't seem like he's eating too much these days, right? He's very slow.
So I've seen him eat a lot and eat healthy. I saw him in Barbetta, another Italian restaurant with West 46th Street, another classic. But, you know, why do you think there is a disconnect between the charming woman you saw in your restaurant and the candidate? I mean, she always comes across, it does not always, and maybe it is a stereotype, but why do you think Hillary has this weird relationship with the media and with so many Americans?
I don't know. And I just wonder if it was from her first lady days. You know, when she came in, it was almost like they had a co-presidency. And a lot of people didn't like it at the time. They really wanted President Bill Clinton to be in charge and not Hillary. You know, remember, she came in, she was the first one talking about, you know, health care for everybody.
Right.
And a lot of people, I think it ruffled a lot of feathers. I think she's a strong businesswoman.
It was Hillary Care before it was Obamacare, for sure. And she didn't, a strong businesswoman for sure. And do you think she's a, was she a good senator? Start there.
She was a senator for a very short time here in our town. And I think that she did well for the short time that she was here.
And Secretary of State?
It seemed like they ran her all over the world, right? Lots of problems that followed. Benghazi, obviously a problem that still has not been resolved. And now these emails. What about these emails on her own private server?
So taking all of what you have just said, Rosanna Scotto is my guest and dear friend, and she and my wife, Erica, just got a
love your wife, thing Erica.
They do
love you
so,
too.
So much charity work together, so many wonderful things. We love you, sweetheart, and your family. But it just seems to me that some people are adored by the press. Some people really get, a kind of a license to be flamboyant. Hillary, on the other hand, they call out is it because she's a woman?
I think part of it is because she's a woman. I think that she's held to a different standard. I do. I also think that she's very wary of the press. She doesn't court them. She doesn't schmooze them. And so maybe her relationship with the press needs to be a little bit better. It needs to be worked on.
I wonder if she can humanize it. I don't know. Did you see this New York Magazine, the cover story here?
I did. I haven't fully read it.
Flame out?
What do you think?
It's a sober analysis of Hillary Clinton's real chance of becoming our next president. I think that the author, Jason Zangerle, is that how you say it, Jason?
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Jason joins us, the reporter who wrote the story. I think it was a fascinating story, but it seemed to me, and to answer Rosanna's question specifically, Jason, about this piece is, I mean, you take the position, it seems, that she's a very flawed and vulnerable candidate. Is that accurate? And if so, why?
Well, I mean, she's not a natural politician. I think that's certainly an accurate assessment of her. I mean, if you think about the traits of typical politicians when it comes to sort of their speaking style, their ability to kind of work a rope line, their kind of natural charisma, their extroverted personality, those are not necessarily her traits. And I think that's something that, she's had to work to overcome. And she has overcome it, obviously, in some instances. I mean, she was elected to the Senate twice. She almost won the presidential nomination in 2008. But, those sort of her inabilities in those areas have worked against her. And I think you really saw that, especially in 2008, at the start of the campaign, right up until she lost in Iowa. She did not run a very good campaign. And, I think people around her and people who support her take some solace in the fact that after Iowa, she started campaigning better. I mean, her events were different. They were smaller.
And then Bill stepped in a bucket in South Carolina and he said, Obama, everyone, all the black people vote for him. I mean, something like that.
That didn't help very much.
But it just seems to me, and Rosanna Scotto, my guest here in the studio, Jason, suggests that some of your attitude, you representing a kind of, a good hunk of the journalism business, have a skepticism about Hillary and maybe an attitude about Hillary that in part is based on the fact that she's a woman.
I feel like you're a little unfair. I think you hold her to a different standard than you hold some of the men politicians. You talk about that she's a flawed, politician. Well, who isn't flawed out there?
Yeah, no, that's, well, look, I mean, I think she does probably get held to a different standard than other politicians. I don't know if that's because of her gender or not. I think that's a possibility, but I do think you're right. I mean, she and the press have just an incredibly dysfunctional relationship. I mean, they really do seem to loathe each other. The problem for Hillary, though, is she's the one who suffers in that relationship much more than the press. And in a way, she's really going to have to figure out how to repair that relationship. And it's kind of unfair to put the burden on her, but in the end, she's going to need the press to not scrutinize her the way it does.
Well, you're talking about that. Jason Zangerle, who has the excellent cover story in New York Magazine, is Hillary Clinton any good at running for president, and how much does it matter anyway? Rosanna Scotto is in the studio. Rosanna, I want to ask you first. Obviously, Monica Lewinsky is still around.
Right.
This story now about, the inside the White House residence with blood on the sheets and all that. Did you hear about that?
I didn't hear about that.
That she found, Jason, did you? I mean, as I understand the story, one of the attendants told this author of the residence, the White House residence, that there was blood on the sheets of the official White House bedroom that following the Monica Lewinsky revelations. I mean, that kind of sordid stuff You don't have to comment on that particularly, but can she shake that? And it, at a time, it seemed people were more sympathetic to her because of all the Monica Gate. And now I wonder if people want to live through all that again. Jason, you first.
Well, I think the press might want to live through it, and that's, you know, that's a problem for her. And, you know, in some ways, it's really unfair for her. I mean, she's having to answer questions about, you know, an affair that her husband had over, you know, 20 years ago. I mean, the fact that she still, that still gets brought up, she has to sit through that during interviews. I think, you know, I think that probably explains some of why she doesn't like the press. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, it is something she's going to have to, you know, just sort of fight her way through and just deal with it during the campaign.
All right, Jason, stand by. I want to get some folks listening in on this conversation. Mario in New Jersey, what's on your mind, buddy?
Geraldo, how are you? Geraldo, I want to point out something that this gentleman touched on. Here's the problem with Hillary Clinton. Her husband got on TV. Forget about he had an affair and all that. I didn't have sex with that woman. She's sitting there next to him, and she goes on a diatribe about it's a vast right-wing conspiracy against my husband. Blah, blah, blah. Here's what happens. It blows up in her face. And one other thing I want to point out to you, my friend. That guy that wrote the book about them, Klein, I think his name was, he put a passage in the book with this Benghazi thing, and this is what was in the book. When the stuff was hitting the fan about Benghazi, she picks up the phone and she calls up her husband. This is what Aaron Klein, I believe the guy's name is. He said, she goes, they want
Edward Klein. Yeah.
This is what they want me to do, Bill. They want me to do this, this, that. What should I do? My friend, Geraldo, do you really want a president who's got to pick up the phone and call her husband to find out what to do with the red button or to deal with the Russians or whatever she's got?
Well, you know, first of all, Klein's book is very ideological, Mario. I don't know if the anecdote that is cited there actually happened. But I'm going back to Rosanna's point. I mean, is Bill Clinton that bad an advisor that we worry? He's one of the most skilled people to hold that
office.
But
people still love Bill Clinton.
I agree.
And they look back at his presidency with all the flaws with fondness. We did well as a country under President Clinton, did we not? We prospered economically, right? We were healthy.
So does he help or hurt, Jason, is my final question before the break.
You know, if he doesn't step in it the way he did in 2008, yeah, I think he can help a lot. He certainly, you know, is a fantastic advisor. he knows how to get elected president, so he would certainly help in that way.
So do you trust him? You take him at his word, Jason, that he's going to stay out of this until toward the end?
I think it'll be tough, but, you know, well, I guess time will tell. I think he's going to have to sort of, you know, go against his instincts to get involved, certainly in a public way.
It'd be funny. We're going to kidnap Bill Clinton, put him in a room someplace, Rosanna, and just gag him and tie his hands behind his back. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, got to take a break. Rosanna Scott is going to stay with me. 866 Geraldo, and to come to you all after this.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866 Geraldo, 77 WABC.
6 minutes to 11 o'clock. My dear guest, Rosanna Scotto, the star, the co-star of Good Day New York.
Don't say the star because Greg Kelly is listening somewhere. He is my partner every morning.
You're so wonderful together.
On Fox 5, we have a lot of fun together.
It's no accident that you're number one. I mean, you really
Thank
have
you.
An amazing chemistry that's so natural.
Well, I think we're kind of yin and yang, you know? We both bring something to the table. We're both New Yorkers. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Greg grew up on Long Island. He always says, I think, you know, Long Island is not really New York. But, there's a different sensibility when you grow up on Long Island and when you grow up in Brooklyn. Don't you think?
As a person who spent years in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and in West Babylon, Long Island, I think that there's a difference. But you know what what ties it all together is the media. If
yes.
you live within 50 miles of the Empire State Building, you're a New Yorker. You
totally.
Know, really, whether you're in Fairfield, Connecticut, or Bergen County, New Jersey,
totally.
or Suffolk County, I think that we all get kind of bumped in. We all root for the Rangers, for instance. You and Greg going to the Rangers game today?
Greg and I'm one of those people, like, when the going gets good, I jump on the bandwagon big time. I have my Rangers shirt that they customized for me
really?
With my name on. Greg has his shirt. We're going to the game tonight. Hopefully we won't cause any, you know, disruptions in the play on the ice. We'll be cheering. Now, we want the Rangers to win because I heard if the Rangers win tonight, it also is good for the Islanders to get into the playoffs.
They'll be there, too. But the Rangers won more games than any team in hockey. They get the President's Trophy, and we wish them
several survivors of the bombing sat
I don't know what that was all about there, Crash. But so what time do you get up to do that morning?
I get up every morning at 4:30 in the morning. And I've kind of gotten used to it, except this cold weather has really kind of worn on me. And with the schedule, I feel like I've gotten sickness cold after cold this year. I can't seem to shake it.
When you have little kids, as I still do, always wiping noses, you're always sick. I mean, we should all live in Miami for 6 months a year or someplace like that.
A lot of people are doing that to avoid the taxes in our area.
Six months in one day. Yeah, I've been thinking about it. So the restaurant, Fresco by Scotto's. I mean, I remember one time going in there and, you know, I'm very good friends with Bernie Kerik, who was police commissioner who got in a jam. And he had this feud with Rudy Giuliani, and I wasn't speaking to Rudy for a long time. I ran into him in your restaurant. That's what broke the ice. I've seen so many big stars in your restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we'll have politicians in there, big business people, and celebrities, you know.
Has de Blasio been in yet?
You know, Bill de Blasio and I had lunch together before he ran for mayor.
But as mayor?
As mayor, no.
I don't know who the guy's friends are.
I don't know.
Not me. I love you, Rosanna. Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Geraldo. I love you. I love your show.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Congratulations, Barry Manilow married his longtime manager. If Noam was here, he's on vacation. If Noam was here, I'd tell him now, Barry adored my brother Craig. We did a story together, and Barry couldn't take his eyes off Craig. Craig's the straightest guy in the country, but it's just... Yeah, we did the first story, right? Marty reminds me, we did the first story on Barry and as he was coming out. I'm going to talk about it, and really our main focus today is one of our rare forays into elected politics, particularly this early, but it is fascinating, isn't it? And so I'm ready to talk about how badly the various candidates for president are doing. Are you? If so, get on the phone. Give me a call at 866-HERALDO. I'm going to get right to that and right to your calls. But you remember, yesterday we heard about this knifing of the former Nick Chris Copeland at One Oak, the Chelsea night spot, and you had Copeland now plays for the Pacers, the Indiana Pacers, and you had a couple of Atlanta Hawks getting involved in the melee with the cops. It didn't do the New York teams any good, this distraction, though. Chris Copeland's Pacers beat the Knicks easily, 102-86, here at the Garden. The Knicks now have the worst record in the NBA, 15 wins, 63 losses. Incredibly mediocre, not even mediocre, horrifying. But the Pacers beat the Knicks despite the distraction of the Chris Copeland stabbing. And the two Atlanta Hawks, they didn't play. They didn't have to. The Hawks won, beat the Nets over in the Barclays Center, 114-111. Antic and Cephalosha inactive after being arrested, trying to obstruct allegedly what was going down with Chris Copeland and the guy, the 20-something guy that stabbed him. And again, nothing good happens after 2 in the morning, particularly if you're an NBA player and you got a game the next day. But back to politics now. What are you thinking about? I think that before I get to your calls, just to summarize where I've been coming from, you got Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. They're officially in. Hillary's probably up next couple of weeks. You have a bunch of others. I mean, 2 of the top tier contenders. I think Clinton, certainly, and Chris Christie. Man, don't they seem dazed? Don't they seem like damaged goods? I mean, she can't shake Benghazi, even though I think that most of that story is so unfair. But you can't shake it. I mean, this whole botched BlackBerry private email stuff. The press saying she has a bad attitude. New York Magazine, we had the author on, saying that most folks, or many of them, think she's testy, she's brittle, she's unpersuasive. I tell you, the ladies in my family love her. My wife, Erica, my 2 daughters, Isabella and Simone, their mom, you know, all the ladies I know are all for Hillary, and I think they've been quiet for a while, but they're gonna, you're gonna be hearing a lot from them. That's gonna be the good news and the bad news. You can't win with just a female vote. It'll be interesting to see if guys get over their hangups with Hillary. But what are you thinking? Enough about me in Somerset, New Jersey. Let's start with Tom. So Tom, what's on your mind, buddy? Punch it in for me, Crash, please. My button's not working. Oh, hello. Oh, great. How about Mary? Hello, Mary.
Mary?
Hi, Mary. You're on.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much for letting me express my opinion.
Oh, please. We'd love to have you express your opinion.
Thank you. Okay. With regard to Hillary or Jeb, I definitely would vote for Hillary if given the opportunity. And but if either Hillary or Jeb get in, I would be very happy because the world is such a dangerous place. With Hillary, you get two for the price of one, and with Jeb, you get three for the price of one.
So the old dynasty thing doesn't bother you, Mary?
Well, I'm probably an old dynaster. I'm 62 years old, and I just feel like we really need people with experience. I think it's so critically important.
So what do you think of Rand Paul?
Inexperienced, and not. I don't know. I don't think he likes women.
And how about Chris Christie?
I'd be open-minded. I did like him in the beginning, but I just don't know whether. I'm not sure, honestly.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling, and I you know, it takes courage to get on the phone, even though it's a friendly environment here. So thanks, and don't be a stranger. John in Manhattan, what do you think about John?
Hi, Geraldo. Yes, I'd like to say I don't like Hillary, and I sure as heck don't like Bill Clinton. I think I doubt whether he can feel shame, but I don't see anything wrong, as one of your previous callers was annoyed with. I don't see anything wrong with her going to him for advice. JFK during the Cuban Missile Crisis went and got advice from Eisenhower. So I think that's totally appropriate. The man is a former president.
So then what is it about Hillary that irks you so?
Well, I don't like her policies. That's the main reason I would never vote for her. She comes off as a little, I don't know, there's just something, I have a visceral dislike of her. But my candidate is Walker.
And Scott Walker, I haven't mentioned Scott Walker today. He hasn't screwed up much. He did compare fighting the public sector unions in Wisconsin with fighting ISIS, which seemed a bit preposterous.
Nobody will remember that when he's elected president.
If he gets that far, John, I appreciate it. It was a smart call. Soma, is it in New Jersey? Hi. Hey, Soma? Crash, you gonna punch that in? My board's all screwed up. Have Rob here in Long Island. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Rob. hey, Geraldo. Good morning. Actually, I wanted to start with just mentioning the jobs report last Friday.
Go ahead.
And the point I want to make is I think it's very interesting now. January 1st of this year, this is where the employer mandate for groups over 100 people have now kicked in. And you had the cloud of the part-time jobs for the holiday seasons. And this mandate is a huge job killer. It's a contractor, and a lot of businesses.
You're talking about Obamacare?
Yeah. So it's not just Obamacare, but the detail of it is that January 1st, that for groups over 100 lives now, they're making the employees pay almost 10% of their adjusted gross income for toward that care for $6,000 deductibles. It's killing the jobs market after 7 years of Obama. You know, Bill Clinton. I want to make the point about going back to Clinton, how well he did. It wasn't until Newt Gingrich won the House in 94 that he moved Clinton to the middle, ended welfare as we know it, and really appeased the bond market. But this mandate for that for the kind of expense that the employer mandate is killing the market. 126,000 jobs after 7 years is a scandal. It's basically a zero growth.
All right, I got you, Rob. Zero growth, says Rob. I think that Obamacare is going to end up, no one is going to be able to strip folks of Obamacare. It won't happen. Tom in Somerset, what's up?
Hello, Geraldo.
Hi, you're on, man. What's up?
No, it's Rich from White Plains.
Okay, my board's all screwed up. I'm going to actually turn this off. I can't see anything. Go ahead. Well, okay, Rich from White Plains. What are you thinking about?
Well, I'm thinking about Rand Paul and the overreaction of his reaction to the media. What's your take on that, Geraldo?
Well, I think that he was way too edgy. It's one thing to bust chops when you're a renegade senator. And Rich, I appreciate the call. But when you're running for president, you got to be presidential, and you're not presidential if, you know, everything, you know, let's face it. People sometimes, and some anchors that aren't well regarded as serious news anchors with gravitas, sometimes they kind of lay it on a little thick in their, and I'm not accusing any particular person right now, so don't attribute anything I'm saying to any particular person, but it just seems to me that sometimes it is as if the fresh young face has something to prove. So they don't give the candidate any slack. So when I heard the ladies going after, and Wolf went after her too. Wolf is certainly no fresh young thing, but Wolf went after Rand Paul too for his apparent flip-flop on certain issues. Rand Paul did reveal himself, to use the word that's used against Hillary, to be testy and brittle and defensive. And when you do that, I fight against that myself. When I'm being interviewed and people say, oh, you used to be a serious journalist and then you opened Al Capone's vault or this or that. And I respond very angrily at times. I mean, depending on my mood, sometimes I laugh it off. Other times I say, well, I won this award or that award, or I did this war or that war. And what do you know? Where have you, you know, and although that feels good at the moment, you say, oh, look at this. I'm showing them who's boss around here. You later, you reflect on it, or you look at the videotape, you see what you did on TV, and you come across as someone who is way too thin-skinned to have a job like president. I mean, man, oh, man, talk about getting the garbage heaped on you and the stuff coming your way. You've got to have a thick skin. You've got to be strong. You've got to be measured. You've got to be temperate in your tone. You have to have some moderation in your basic philosophies, and you've got to be able to portray yourself as someone who's not going to let loose a nuclear weapon. I mean, that was Sarah Palin's problem. I mean, people started looking at Sarah Palin and said, "Man, oh man, she's a heartbeat away from the presidency." And she could see Russia from her backyard. I mean, it seemed to people there was a disconnect. Nobody wanted to trust America's nuclear fate to the 2-year governor of Alaska. And so that was the end of her. So I think that Rand Paul may have really crippled his candidacy, because it was so many people the first time they took a close look at him, and he came across, even though I go back to a lot of the questions were very hostile and they were framed in a way that was pregnant with editorial. I mean, still, the guy could have handled it with much more grace and ease. Look at the way Bloomberg handles things. And I'm jonesing for Mayor Bloomberg. He just got knighted. He's now Sir Michael Bloomberg. You know, he's put the kibosh on the rumors that he may be, by acclamation, elected governor of, mayor of London. But he says he's out of it. But, I mean, that was a guy, you know, when was the last time Bloomberg lost his temper when you were watching it? And even when he did, you could hardly notice. It's a tough road to hoe. What are you thinking? Who do you like? Who don't you like?
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
Coming back to politics at 25 minutes after 11 o'clock here on 77 WABC. Geraldo here. No, I'm having the day off. Before I get to your calls, and I'm coming to you in scant seconds, just want to recognize the anniversary. Today is the 150th anniversary of the surrender at the Appomattox, Virginia courthouse by the Confederate commanding General Robert E. Lee to the Union's Lieutenant General Ulysses S. Grant, later President of the United States, of course. So it was the milestone event ending the Civil War. I mean, I don't know if that's the official date that the war ends, but it certainly effectively ended the Civil War when he surrendered the Army of Northern Virginia to the Union 150 years ago today. Amazing how in some ways that war is still being fought. Talking about politics. Oh, before I get there, and I promise I'm coming right to you. These two trials are very fascinating going on in Massachusetts. Now in the trial of Aaron Hernandez, the former New England Patriot, tight end. The jurors, two of the jurors are being questioned by the judge even as we speak. I'm not sure what the questions are with the judge, but you know, the jury has been out for some time now. In this trial of Aaron Hernandez, who's charged in the shooting death of the semi-pro player Odin Lloyd, a guy who was dating Hernandez's fiance's sister, shot six times. They had some videotape, pretty good videotape of Aaron Hernandez and what looked like the weapon. The defense said maybe it wasn't a weapon, maybe it was a cell phone. But the jury is out, and why are they having a struggle with finding a conclusion here? Is the prosecution of Aaron Hernandez in jeopardy? The trial deliberations go one more day. I'm going to be saying what you're looking at here is a hung jury. With the Tsarnaev, the bomber, the Boston Marathon bomber, the Boston Globe is editorializing now that it's pretty clear that the prosecution of the kid, Tsarnaev kid, failed to show that even he was the most responsible of the two brothers. That it was, Tamerlane, the older brother, who really was the leader of the pack here. So it led Johar Tsarnaev rot in hell for the rest of his life in federal maximum prison. And I heartily endorse that. I think killing the kid, executing the kid, particularly in a place as sensitive as the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, will have no good effect. It's not like Timothy McVeigh in Oklahoma City, who was the mastermind, the wicked militia man who made the bomb and then planted the bomb and all the rest of it. In the Tsarnaev case in Boston, it's pretty clear that that the brother was the one leading the way. Even in Oklahoma City, remember McVeigh, I forget the guy's name now, that was his sidekick, his co-conspirator. He got life. So only McVeigh got the death penalty. I don't think that Tsarnaev should get the death penalty, and I don't think it will help Boston heal at all. So Boston strong, just give the guy life and let's be over with it. All right, so that, and then Aaron Hernandez, will be watching that, and I'll tell you when I think you may have a hung jury in that one, or as it progresses. And I don't know what the hell's going on with these two jurors. I'll continue to monitor it. And just like we're monitoring the North Charleston, South Carolina case, I basically said everything I had to say about that yesterday. It certainly looks like, a homicide to me, whether murder or manslaughter. Let the jury decide. But the guy plugging the man, the 50-year-old man in the back, absolutely intolerable and outrageous. But everybody's on the same page on that one. Okay, 29 minutes after 11 o'clock, let me go to Tom. Hey, Tom, thank you very much for your patience. What's on your mind?
Hey, Geraldo, can we have just a brief discussion about integrity with the presidential candidates?
Please do.
Let's start with Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
These people and her right now, because he's not going to be president, she has given us a glimpse of her integrity. And when people say she's brittle or she's abrasive or she's defensive when she's lying. That's when you see her become defensive with the press. That's when you see her become defensive with any other people in Congress. She's disingenuous. She moved to New York solely for the purpose of gaining a Senate seat, getting a pathway. Then she becomes the Secretary of State, does a backhand.
Oh, but what, she's not the first one to do that. I mean, you had Bill Buckley. You had, what's his name? The other one. Anyway, but go ahead.
It doesn't make it right. And I'd like you to tell me, okay, you say, well, my family's enamored. Maybe
Bobby Kennedy was the other one.
Right. Well, forget the past. Let's just talk about the present, okay? Because past precedent of terrible behavior doesn't mean more terrible.
Okay.
Behavior.
Okay. Right. I'm not putting it down, but I just don't think that's the fact that you moved to New York. They still live in New York. She lives in Chappaqua in Westchester County. She's setting up her headquarters in Brooklyn.
Is this a person?
I'm a lifelong New Yorker, but I don't put her down for it.
But the other question that you would bring in your life from an integrity standpoint.
That's a good point. I mean, is she an honorable person? I think she's probably
an honorable person.
Can't really get out of her own way when it comes to personality sometimes. I have always found her brittle and very highly suspicious of me in our dealings. You know, that's just the way I found her. But Tom, I appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
On the air, online, and on iHeart.com. We are 77 WABC.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day. 77 WABC.
Welcome back. Where's my Bob Marley? I want to get some Bob Marley. Bob Marley, the president, was in Jamaica. This is in Jamaica, man. Wonder if he had the goat's head stew. You got any Marley? Computer crash. There's always something. But the president in Jamaica, he was in Jamaica. Now he's heading to Panama. It's an area of the Caribbean where critics have said he's been inattentive and allowing Chinese influence to grow. It's always something, isn't it? But, I mean, with the Venezuelan, radical leftist in charge, kind of courting China as his own, as Venezuela goes to hell in a handbasket, the president wanted to go counter that influence, that malign, malignant influence in the Caribbean. But what's on your mind? We are talking American politics today. Just want to give you an idea before I get to your calls at 866-RALDO. So Senator Rand Paul announced yesterday he had a hard time, various interviews, particularly female correspondents giving him a hard time. He did not comport himself very well, I did not think. I think he was very ungracious and defensive and really revealed maybe a thin skin that will not serve him well. But he did raise $1 million online within the first 24 hours of his announcement. Ted Cruz, though, also raised $1 million within the first 24 hours of his announcement, Senator Cruz. And Cruz now, according to various published accounts, has $31 million in his war chest already. The one who's falling flat as a pancake there is Chris Christie, the charismatic governor of New Jersey, once so popular, once so highly regarded for his feisty, independent thinking, is now in the toilet. When it comes to his popularity, people saying that he's not doing very well. He's got the 54% disapproval rating overall of the job he's doing as governor, 41 approved. So he's a lot less popular than President Obama now. And he's also dropped, Christie, interestingly enough, among Republicans in New Jersey. His approval rating there is down from 79% Republican approval to 69% disapproval, up to 27% from 11. So Christie, really, the shine is definitely off. The bloom is definitely off that rose. But what's on your mind in No Pulse? Russ is on the line. What are you thinking about, Russ? Thank you very much for calling.
Yes, nice to talk to you, Geraldo. I love your show.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
Did you know you mentioned General Lee a little while back.
Robert E. Lee surrendered 150 years ago today.
Did you know that Joe Biden is a reincarnation?
No, I didn't. How did you know?
It's a secret. Not many people know about that.
Oh, I'm glad we got that out of the way. Now, what else is on your mind?
Okay. As far as I know, present candidates for president, nobody has any military experience. Do you think that would be a real big game changer?
That is interesting. You know, when you think about it, it's going through it in my mind. I don't know any of them that have any, military, you know. George W. Bush was in the military, but Jeb Bush, I don't believe was. I don't want to speak from ignorance. Maybe someone can correct me if I'm wrong.
It's still early in the game, isn't it?
It is fascinating. I mean, Tom Cotton, the most activist of the Republican senators, he was, two-term, deployment in Iraq. The Harvard College and Harvard Law School educated senator from Arkansas who authored or at least signed the note from the Senate, the Senate Republicans to Iran about the nuclear accord. But Tom Cotton, I don't know, he seems like, I hate to say he's an empty suit, but it does appear as if the neocons like Bill Kristol leading him by the nose. But anyway, I don't know, you're right, absolutely. That these candidates have no, and someone please correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I do not believe that any of the candidates have any military experience, and whether or not that bodes ill or well, that's for you to decide. Lou in Queens, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Hey, good talking to you again. My personal survey is most people, I don't think either want a Clinton or Bush. I wanted to bring up something just now. There is one guy in the Democratic Party that would be a really strong candidate if he runs and does have military experience. That's Jim Webb.
Interesting. Webb from Virginia. He was Secretary of the Veterans Affairs, also a senator. Let me Google him. But yeah, he does.
And yeah, yeah. I was going to bring up 3 points, though, if I may, about the Clinton economy. We have to remember that it was during the Clinton economy that the Glass-Steagall Act came along, which destroyed the wall between investment banks and savings and loan banks. It was also the years that the Community Reinvestment Act forced Fannie Mae to make its subprime loans from 30 to 55% of its portfolio. And it was also the years of NAFTA, NAFTA being a mixed bag because since NAFTA, the United States has lost about one-third of its industrial base, and the Democrats only now have noticed. So, you know, I think that we have to look that the economic tsunami that was developing from 1999 and hit us later on actually was coming during the Clinton years.
Well, that may or may not be, but you cannot deny that George W. Bush certainly presided over, you know, the economy going into the toilet. And Obama, you love him or hate him, he has presided over a very strong, not a strong, but a very steady recovery. The stock market has regained all that it lost and more. But you're right. I just want to just mention Jim Webb was the senator from Virginia. Then he was Secretary of Navy. He was Assistant Secretary of Defense. He was an officer in the Marine Corps, but yeah. I don't think he's running.
Yeah, it's too bad because he's more of a JFK type of guy. And it's note that he was a Democrat serving under Secretary of the Navy under Ronald Reagan.
Well, we don't have much of that crossover anymore, do we? I miss that.
No,
I long for that. But Lou, what a smart call. You should be in politics yourself.
Thank you, sir.
Mark in Westchester, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling, Mark.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. First, I'd like to say something about Iran.
Go ahead.
They continue to have Death to America marches and Death to America demonstrations. And I think that John Kerry and this flying freak circus of his, they need to be rounded up and charged with a crime, because to negotiate with a country that's threatening to kill Americans constantly, and they have a mock attack on an American aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf. They actually go to the trouble to build something that looks like a full-sized aircraft carrier, float it, and then blow it up. What's going on? This is insane.
What is it about Iran, though, that makes them stand out as being a peril to the United States over, say, ISIS or Al-Qaeda?
Well, they have already murdered people, committed mass murder in Argentina.
That was in the 80s. I mean, granted, that was horrifying, but everything, I can't track. Everyone says Iran, the Republicans.
The
conservatives say
answer.
Iran is the most dangerous enemy facing the biggest peril facing the United States, to which I say bull. I think that it's absolutely not true. I mean,
well,
you have Al-Qaeda, you have Al-Shabaab, you have ISIS, you have
Boko
Haram.
We have a lot of dead Americans from Iraq because of Iran. They were supporting the insurgents against our troops
in
Iraq.
They were, but I if you consider that terrorism, then I don't think you understand the situation. Iraq, Iran, Shiites, Sunnis, and all the rest of it. Mark, I got to let you go. I appreciate it. I don't see Iran, ladies and gentlemen, as the existential threat to either Israel or the United States. I think Iran, when you meet an Iranian person, you know, these Persians, you look at Rodeo Drive in Southern California or right around here, they're entrepreneurial. They want to rock and roll. They want sex, drugs. They want to have fun. They want to do business. They want to make money. You know, they don't want world conquest. They're fighting. It's a minority within the Islamic religion. They're fighting against the Sunnis. And you look at the Sunnis. I mean, all those groups, that's what they have in common. These horrible Al-Shabaab in Africa, Sunni extremists. Boko Haram kidnapping all these young girls and perpetrating horrible religious violence, particularly against Christians, Sunnis. Al-Qaeda, Sunnis. The Taliban, Sunnis. ISIS, Sunnis. I mean, these are all Sunni extremist groups. I think that people that say Iran is the gravest danger facing the United States are drinking the Netanyahu Kool-Aid. I don't believe it. I don't think it's supportable by the facts. But anyway, what I'm talking about is politics. I'm going to get back to your calls.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Don't worry about a thing.
I wonder if President Obama is humming that during his visit today in Jamaica. So he's still there. I got the schedule now. Got it all straightened out here. He lays a wreath after a town hall meeting that'll be on television this afternoon around 3. He lays a wreath at the National Heroes Park there in Kingston, Jamaica. Then they take off at 6:10 and head to Panama, where the Summit of the Americas is going to take place in Panama. And the big question, of course, what's the biggest issue on your mind? I mean, it's obviously the big term is the Chinese infiltration of the region through Venezuela. But Cuba, it's all about Cuba. And the guessing now is whether or not the president may meet with Raul Castro there at the Summit of the Americas in Panama. That would be cool. They got together. I would love those two, our two nations, the mighty United States and little Cuba, to patch up their differences to the extent that they get it together and they're civil to each other and let people come back and forth, let Cuban people who feel themselves exiled, let them bring legal action to get some compensation for the property they lost, or maybe that becomes part of a treaty negotiation. Whatever those outstanding issues, there's no reason there shouldn't be normal relations between the United States and Cuba. We're talking politics all day. Lou, I appreciate your patience. Thanks a lot for holding on. What's on your mind, buddy?
How you doing, Geraldo?
All right, good.
I've been listening to you for a long time, and the more I listen to you, the more I start disagreeing with you. The Iran situation, the problem here is they want to control the whole Mideast.
You really believe that? I don't believe that. I don't believe Iran has any aspirations for controlling the Mideast.
They are the prime sponsor of terrorism.
I know that's what the Israeli lobby says, but prove that. How can you say, hold it? How can you say Iran is the...
You hold it. You just don't like to listen to your callers.
I like to listen to my callers, but not when they're factually incorrect. Boko Haram, ISIS.
They want to destroy Israel.
Al-Qaeda.
That's a fact. Okay? That's a fact. And
how do you know it's a fact?
As part of the negotiations, wouldn't allow wording that they had to take out of that so-called agreement, not a treaty, agreement that... Took that out of
See you tomorrow.